Hi, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and welcome to Food Talk and OURadio.org, where celebrity chefs and food writers give us their special cooking tips. And what's for dinner tonight? I have a very special quick and easy dinner in minutes that will please your family, and it won't break your calorie or your time bank. Well, my guest today is Elaine Hallgarten. She's a very dear friend. She's a food writer, she's a cookbook author, and she's visiting me here from London, England. So, Elaine, welcome.
Thank you very much.
It's lovely to have you here. When I lived in England, Elaine, there was one kind of Jewish food that I had never seen there before or since. Can you guess what it is?
It's got to be fried gefilte fish, and I never understand why nobody else has it, because that's my favorite way of having it, actually.
Well, deep fried it? I mean, maybe it
No, it doesn't have to be deep fried. I sort of shallow fry mine.
Do you?
And one of the reasons I do it, fry it, is because it freezes well, and I don't think boiled gefilte fish does freeze well. To me, it always goes very mushy and takes in too much liquid, and when you defrost it, it loses all the sort of flavor of the fish itself. So I do cook both, but if I need to cook in advance, which I do quite often do for Passover or whenever I want it, I do fry it. And I must say, that's the way my family like it.
Well, it was certainly a revelation in my family, certainly. I mean, who doesn't like fried fish? It's delicious.
I think it probably came about because of the passion for fish and chips, which at one time was a very Jewish business in England. I don't know whether you know that.
No, but I noticed that there were some fish and chips places that did on Fridays.
Yes.
They would make fried gefilte fish. In fact, it was in London, and our friends outside of London, if we went to visit them for Friday dinner, Friday night dinner, they'd say, "We'll stop off and pick up some of the gefilte fish on your way."
I've never had it commercially made, but what they do use in many fish and chip shops, but more particularly in London and in particularly Jewish areas, is that they give you the choice of having fish fried in an ordinary fish batter or in matzah meal.
Oh, interesting.
And I bet you wouldn't get that in the middle of the country where there's probably a Pakistani fish and chip shop or something where...
No, it would have to be a very special kosher fish and chip
shop. Yeah, I'm sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about the Jewish community in England. What is it like?
It is, by your standards in the States, very small. We have somewhere around or under 300,000 Jews, and it's a diminishing... very much a diminishing community, because obviously today you can imagine there are many people marrying out, and a lot of people who've just drawn away from religion generally. So it isn't a large community, but it's pretty vibrant just the same. And like all Jewish communities around the world, everybody has to have a synagogue they won't go to, so it's split into various sort of different parts.
Right. In that case, are there many kosher foods that you can buy there?
There are. For Orthodox people, I think there's no problem in centres where there is a big Jewish population, which would be obviously London, and then again special parts of London, which are very, very much considered to be Jewish areas, northwest London, if you like, and further out to the north. Leeds would have a very big Jewish community. Manchester would have a big Jewish community, and Glasgow in Scotland would have a sizable community.
Right, and there is kosher food to buy available easily.
Yes, in those sort of areas, you would certainly not have any problem keeping kashrut and buying kashrut, There's, of course, a lot of food coming in from Israel now. If you were to go into a Jewish food shop, you would find a lot of different, obviously Middle Eastern type Jewish food, which is very popular anyway. One particular brand comes to mind, Yarden. There's a big shop in Golders Green Road which is called Yarden, and they stock all the foods that they can import.
I wonder,
from
are they
there.
The same people who make the wine? Must
they're
be.
Not.
No,
they're not. Curiously enough, curiously, they're not, because it's a make that's become very popular, but they also have got into mainstream supermarkets. Most supermarkets in London many supermarkets, I should say, in areas where there's a Jewish population will have a kosher section. The one where I live certainly has a kosher, a big kosher section. And what I'm trying to think, what would I find if I go and shop in that kosher section? I'd find all the dips and sauces that you would expect to get in Israel, the hummus and aubergine, you call it eggplant, sorry, we call it by the French name, aubergine, those sort of things that are very popular in Israel and are imported by Yarden, for instance. You would find home-based British kosher products. For instance, there was at one time a very, very popular kosher restaurant called Bloom's that used to be in the East End of London when there was a big Jewish population there. Alas, there's no more Jewish population in the East End. But Bloom's still has a manufacturing outlet and one restaurant in Golders Green. And they produce sausages to their own special
right.
recipe.
Well, is it like, for example, here in the United States, kosher foods are becoming very, very popular because people who are not kosher from all aspects of life are buying it because they consider it to be a safer food.
Yes, that is very much a message that kosher food can give to anybody who's listening. I wouldn't say that it has got into the general sort of psyche, though, because, as I say, these foods are mainly targeted at and in
right.
a certain area.
Well, it's a little different here. But now, you mentioned there was some of the synagogues in London or some of the older synagogues there.
Well, there's one particular one, which is a beautiful synagogue. And if you come to London and you want to see something very, very special, you must go to it. It's called Bevis or Beavis, B-E-V-I-S, Marx Synagogue. And it's in the city of London. And it has some distinction in that it suffered from an IRA bomb a few years ago. But it was all stuck back together again. They hold their services in candlelight, which would have been the way of lighting it when it was built at least 300 years ago. I'm not too hot on dates, but I think 300 years ago. It's a really beautiful synagogue. It follows the Sephardic tradition, what we call Spanish and Portuguese service, and it's very popular for people to have their weddings there if they're able to because they are members of the synagogue. But also, interestingly, next door, what was built as an area for a sukkah, at which the story goes, it was built as a sukkah at great expense to the community. And then they realized that they'd rather overspent. But they came to a wonderful arrangement with a restaurateur who was looking for a space to put a very, very special, very, what we call upmarket, kosher restaurant. And so this space that was built as a sukkah for the synagogue is now used, and it's attached to the synagogue, but obviously commercially has no connection with the synagogue. And it's a wonderful restaurant to go to. It's one of our really most delicious, the most delicious food there.
And it's all kosher food there?
It's strictly kosher. It's under the Sephardic Beth Din, and totally kosher.
Now, where is this located in London?
It's in the East End. It's near a road called Houndsditch, and not far from Aldgate, which is.
So, if you were visiting in London, it would be easy to get to it.
Oh yes, very easy. You'd go to Aldgate Underground subway mm-hmm. station and walk for 5 minutes, and you'd be there.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, what about some other kosher restaurants if we're visiting London? Do you have any suggestions?
Yes, well, you can get a whole guide to them if you were to look at the Time Out Eating and Drinking Guide to London, which has every cuisine under the sun represented. As you may or may not know, London is a very cosmopolitan city today. And so you can get kosher cuisine, you can get Japanese, Chinese, the whole lot. You can get Chinese kosher as well.
Yes.
Do you have cut Chinese
yes,
kosher?
Yes, we do.
I'm
yes,
sure
we
you do.
Do.
Well, there's
yes.
some really very good Chinese kosher restaurants in London. I think there might even be an Indian one. I'm not sure. But Time Out Eating and Drinking in London, I think it's.
Is this on the newsstands there? Would it be?
It would be in yeah, probably
or
would be.
A
yeah.
bookstore. Well, maybe it's online.
It might well be online. Mm-hmm. I can't verify right. that, but it could well be. Yeah.
Well, that sounds wonderful. So it's always good.
And then you'd get a complete sort of overview of the restaurants in London. They are mainly in northwest London, I have to say. Apart from the Bevis Marks one, there's really nothing else that I could say would be central. But there's a lot of them outside the centre of London in Jewish areas, and they are mostly Sephardic, Middle Eastern type of food. There are a few Ashkenazi, but mostly Middle Eastern.
Right. And when I first moved to London, having come from New England, I was only used to Ashkenazi food.
Yeah.
And it was just a wonderful revelation for me to find foods that had a lot more flavor.
Well, yes, I'm afraid you might find that.
And great different flavors and different rules for eating certain foods, especially at Passover time.
Yes, I do know that. And my dear friend Claudia Roden, who puts all this so beautifully in her book, A Book of Jewish Food.
A wonderful book. It's a book I think everybody should have.
I was in a synagogue in Charleston last week, and I told them they had to have it in their bookshop because it is the definitive book, I think.
And Jewish food from all over the world.
Yes.
So that would be Claudia Roden's Book of Jewish Food,
yes,
which won awards all over the world.
Oh, all over the place, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what she does is not only give you wonderful recipes, but gives you a fantastic picture of Jewish life in every single part of the diaspora. But, of course, she has a Sephardic background, and she did very, very well to make sure that it was as balanced as could be in that particular book. But I think it was quite a struggle for her because...
balance the Ashkenazi and the Sephardic,
yes,
because
correct.
Let's face it, some of the Ashkenazi food is, could be improved.
But it's good comfort food.
Yes, that's yes. Well, and the other thing that is very comforting is that I've lived in several countries, and when it comes to Jewish foods, it's similar, really very
yes.
similar, and you feel very much at home and as if you belong,
right.
whichever country you're
that's
in.
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's great. Well, now it's dinner in minutes time, and we're going to have a wonderful, simple, and easy dinner in minutes recipe. Do you ever wonder what celebrity chefs cook when they're at home? That's the question I asked Daniel Ballou. Now, he's considered one of the top 10 chefs in the world, and he loves cooking at home. He told me he even asks his staff to bring their mothers to the restaurant to cook for him for a home-cooked meal. And he gave me his recipe for chicken with spices and gently sautéed vegetables, saying it's his 30-minute Sunday supper. Well, I've adapted his recipe to make it even quicker. So first, you season a couple of tablespoons of flour with some ground cumin, salt, and freshly ground black pepper. And that's for two chicken breasts, those are chicken breasts that have their bones in them. So you dip the chicken breasts in that flour, making sure you cover all the sides. And then you brown the chicken in olive oil on all sides for about 5 minutes, so it's nice and golden. Remove the chicken from the skillet and add onion, sliced onion, chopped fresh ginger, crushed garlic, sliced red bell pepper, and sliced fennel. Well, my mouth is watering already. Well, you sauté the vegetables for about 3 minutes, return the chicken to the skillet with the skin side up, and add some white wine and water, about a half a cup each for two chicken breasts. You bring the liquid to a gentle simmer, you cover with a lid, and cook 15 minutes. When it's finished, you drizzle some olive oil on top. If you'd like, you can even put some chopped cilantro on top of that or chopped fresh parsley. And it's nice to serve this chicken over a bed of rice. Well, the full recipe is on this website. Well, Elaine Hallgarten, it's just been delightful talking with you. Elaine Hallgarten is a food writer from London, England, a cookbook writer, and does a lot of travel writing as well. So, Elaine, thanks so much for joining us.
It's been a great pleasure, Linda.
Great information about what's Jewish cooking in England.
Good.
Well, it's been fun talking with all of you, my listeners. You can see my full Dinner in Minutes recipe on this website. And please contact me with your questions and comments. I'd love to hear from you. You can reach me at dinnerinminutes@ou.org. Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me next time for more food talk.